Welcome to Buzz in the Tower, a podcast dedicated to the movies of the 1980s and the 1990s. I'm Mo Shapiro, that's Max Sanders, and we are the Three Amigos.
Huh.
Ha! That was terrible, Max. You did a terrible job.
I don't even know what I always forget that cough.
Did you do the Macarena? I don't even know what you were doing. Max, the Three Amigos.
This is one of your favorites.
It's one of the four greatest comedies ever.
You say Farley very often, and it like throws me off.
Farley.
Farley, Farley, Farley.
Oh, yeah. You too. Yeah. Look up here. Look up here. Actually, that's wrong.
That's different.
Wrong scene. Yeah. One for each other and all for one.
We say plethora.
The three brave amigos are we. Ay, 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 ay. You know, I have to be careful. I feel like I'm culturally appropriating.
This movie's all about that.
There's a lot of cultural appropriation.
Yeah.
Wherever you find us is where we will be for the three.
I thought you were doing it.
No. Should I do it as Walken? Yeah. So we were just talking about Dune 2 and how out of place Christopher Walken felt. And then I started thinking about singing the song as Christopher Walken. One for each other. Awful one. The three brave amigos.
You got to whisper a little bit.
You, El Guapo, Scooch, Scooch closer. We are brought to you by the Guy Fieri selection of clothing you're wearing.
It's a mother-in-law bought me the shirt. What's wrong with
nothing,
that?
I'm
great. A bowling shirt guy.
No, I love it.
In sixth through eighth grade, it was my entire wardrobe, and I was made fun of.
Good for you. I can't imagine why. What kind of scoundrel would do that? If this is your first time to the show, please make sure that you hop on over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, leave a review, subscribe, five stars. It's good. Don't mention YouTube.
I'll get there in a minute.
I am wearing my favorite shirt from 80stees.com, our sponsor.
You know what's crazy? You know Ralph Macchio is now older than Pat Morita was during the Karate Kid?
I saw that the other day. That's wild. That makes me feel old as dirt.
We are old, man.
80stees.com. This is my Miyagi-Do shirt, but they are our sponsor. And if you love the movies of the 80s and 90s, head on over to their store and buy some shirts. Fine linens, good quality. Max, what else am I forgetting? Social media, at Buzz in the Tower, B-U-Z-Z on the Tower. All of our standard operating procedures you can find on there. But TikTok is the way to go.
Yeah, Bradley's killing it with our shorts.
We got another 20,000. Dude, I totally screwed up. So we did the episode on the program last week, and we talked about Alvin Mack, the linebacker. And I said that actor had been in five total movies where he played a football player. I totally forgot my hidden favorite movie that we never talk about, the name of which is escaping me, the How I Got Into College movie.
He's Steve Savage.
Yeah, he's a football player being recruited to go to that. He literally is like a football player.
Okay, that's cool.
So it should be six.
And also Little Big League, he's a baseball player.
That's not football, though. You are aware.
Sports.
Sports indeed, Max.
Yeah.
YouTube.com/@BuzzInTheTower if you want to see Max's Guy Fieri shirt that his mother-in-law gave
him. Flavortown.
It's beautiful. Makes me hungry just looking at it.
Do you watch drive-ins and
dive-ins? You're really having trouble.
Drivers.
Pause. It's all right. Slow down.
Yeah.
Do I watch what? Dives?
Dives, drive-ins, and...
Diners?
Dog houses.
Yes. Yes, I do. I know. I've never... I don't watch it.
It's good. It makes me hungry.
I used to watch Man vs. Food. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
The guy would just go around like trying to...
He's a great TikTok follow.
Yeah, he's good. Patreon.com/BuzzInTheTower.
Give us money.
Look at the way Max is dressed. He clearly needs it. And that's my last shirt joke, actually. I like the shirt. I like blue. Blue's a good color.
Blue flames are the hottest.
You are the blue flame special, Utah. You sure are. Today we're talking about...
Young, dumb, and full of flavor.
Yeah, there you go. Today we're talking about Three Amigos.
Yep.
We're talking about the Three Amigos, but the name of the movie is Three Amigos! !
Yes, it is.
It's important to know that.
Has there ever been another movie even remotely like this where it's like 1920s?
Three total movies that are like this.
What?
You were hopping into something that I was going to save, but since...
Oh.
I got to scratch my
head. Can't read your mind.
Would you even try if you could?
No.
Do you want to see the darkness? You wouldn't like the darkness.
It's just Bane.
I was born in the darkness. You merely adapted it.
It's just Elizabeth Shue in a Bane mask high heels.
You get in my head. Yeah. It's a dark room.
She's smoking. Dance sexy.
Yeah. Elizabeth.
You're Bane just telling her what to do.
Is it getting hot in here? I like that a lot. Well, I don't want to jump into that right now because I have a cool thing on that. But what were we talking about? Three Amigos.
So is this your favorite Steve Martin movie?
No.
Okay. What is?
Parenthood, L.A. Story, they're right up there. Which, have you seen L.A. Story
yet? Not yet, yeah, no.
Well, you're a POS.
Yeah.
Before you do, I know, like, one of your strengths is interviewing people. You're really good at it. But instead of peppering me with questions, I just want to get through a sentence or two, and then you can go back to just zoning out.
Pepper's
that'd be great.
A funny word.
I'd like to assault you as well. This movie has a unique and special place in my heart. It is in this rare category of, and I'm going to call it family friendly. It's family friendly, clean, easy. You could watch this with any age kid.
Yep.
And it's hysterical.
Yeah.
It's absolutely hysterical. It is at the highest part of my list of comedic films, right? Like before there was Tommy Boy, before there was, you know, Billy Madison, before that kind of genre of film existed, you had these three comedic giants who were,
playing moronic man children who learn something.
Martin Short, this is his premiere on film, but
which is crazy.
It's nuts to me, but he was doing stuff on Second City TV,
SCTV.
On SNL, yeah. Chevy Chase, Steve Martin,
yep.
Martin Short.
Yeah.
That is incredible.
With Landis.
With more than Landis, with Lorne Michaels.
Randy Newman.
Randy Newman. We're going to talk a whole lot about that. Part of what I think is great about this part of what's great about this movie is that you have essentially three comedic geniuses riffing off of each other.
Yeah, and they seem like besties.
Yeah, even though Chevy Chase, as per usual, was difficult on the shoot, but the other two
were. Was he difficult on this one?
There was like one, if you ask Landis what one of his favorite memories of shooting the film was, he will tell you, I read this in an article in Vulture, I think, but he'll tell you that there was some joke when they were on the three horses and they're in the desert and they had some line for him to say. And Chevy Chase is like, well, I don't want to say this line. It makes me look like a moron. And Landis is like, you're literally playing a character named Dusty Bottoms.
Yeah.
Like, are you really that worried about it? So he was really putting up a fight about it. And Landis said, don't worry about it. I'll give the line to Martin Short. And Chevy's like, whoa, hold on a second. Yeah. You know, and like his, so unfortunate. Chevy Chase to me is like the embodiment of all the talent in the world and just a sour kind of insecure jerk.
Yeah, if you put in a lab, like what you want is a perfect comedic lead. Yeah. He's it.
The closest actor that has ever fit that space for me.
Vince Vaughn for me.
Yeah. And like, so it's interesting you bring that up because I want to jump into what we normally don't do until the very end. If you had to recast this movie, there are some insanely good opportunities to recast this movie and do it today.
Really?
Well, tell me that you wouldn't want to see I'm going to call it an old school reunion.
Okay.
Like from the movie Old School.
So Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
Vince Vaughn.
Luke Wilson.
And Luke Wilson.
That's really good. Yeah.
Tell me that as the three amigos, that wouldn't feel right.
They're really too old. Like it needs to be during the old school time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I still like even think they could do it. It would be great.
Yeah. I think like Danny McBride, Channing Tatum, and like Seth Rogen could do it too.
Actually be really entertaining too. We gotta start keeping up with like new, younger, funny actors.
I know.
I don't.
Oh, by the way, Glenn Powell Jr. is gonna do an 80s remake movie. I can't remember which one.
It's a great story, Max.
Oh God.
You wanna Google it since
yeah,
I know that's
sorry, I was very excited.
You were too excited to remember what it was.
80s remake.
Are you talking about
The Running Man?
We literally had this conversation on last week's episode where
yes,
I said they're redoing The Running Man. You go, yeah, with Glenn Powell.
Yep. Sorry. And Highlander with Henry Cavill.
Yeah. I think we should end the show. I think it's time for us to go our separate ways. You have a budding career as a diner chef. And
I can't cook anything.
Yeah, you know, you're great. You can cook this show. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, good. I'm just checking. Over the mountains. Sorry. I'm back. All right, Max, let's talk about this movie.
Do your kids love it?
Yes. All three of them think it's hilarious.
And the wife?
Yeah. Well, Good. Trish doesn't like anything.
No.
Including me.
What's her favorite movie?
I don't know. I don't really care. I don't pay attention.
Schindler's
to
List.
It's your go-to. You know, I have to tell you, my challenge to you, Max, is just new material. I just would love some new material from you. Three actors accept an invitation to a Mexican village to perform their on-screen bandit fighter roles, unaware that it is the real thing. So that's it.
Yeah,
that's the movie.
Yeah, It's a nice, simple plot.
So there's, I'm going to.
The 1920s of it makes it really fun, too.
Yeah, yeah. It's a period piece. There's only three movies that, to me, are really this flavor. There's other movies like the bumbling spy that doesn't know he's a spy type stuff.
Sure. But
this is different. This is like actors thinking they're doing something real. There's only three movies. And you know what those three movies are?
No.
You should. You should know one of them for sure.
Give me a clue.
I'm a man portraying a man.
Tropic Thunder.
Tropic Thunder, Galaxy Quest, and Three Amigos.
Oh, Galaxy Quest is so good.
But these are like the only films that fit into this like unique genre.
Yeah.
And Tropic Thunder to me is like, it feels like now watching Three Amigos again, Tropic Thunder feels like a tip of the hat to Three Amigos.
I can see that.
Because you've got a lot of like the zany one-liners. I actually saw some article that brought up a few things I didn't even think about. Like in the desert when they're lost, they're eating bats.
Bats, yeah.
And then remember when Jack Black is...
he rips the head off a bat, doesn't he?
He eats the bat. Yeah. Yeah. So there's like little tiny things like that.
Yeah.
Nick Nolte, grumpy old crazy man. El Guapo, grumpy old crazy bad guy. So there's Tom Cruise. What's the name of the guy that he plays?
Les Grossman.
Les Grossman versus Flugelman. Is it Flugelman?
John Montaigne.
Yeah, yeah. Is that the name? Is it Flugelman? Is Harry, yeah. Harry
Flugelman? Henry Flugelman.
Henry, or Harry, or whatever. Yeah. Anyway, so I think that's, you know, there's enough similarities.
That's interesting.
Yeah, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
You never
know. And Ben Stiller is like a history of film guy.
I mean, if you're going to remake it, they remade it well. The overall thing I will say before we get into facts about the movie is that the staying power of this movie and why I find it so funny is rooted in the comedic timing of the script, right? Of the conversations between everyone.
We're going to have to use our brains.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Damn it. Like, and there's so many just moments that are very... Like they're laying in bed and they're talking about what they're going to spend the money on if they all get it.
I donated to Martin, kids with cancer.
Your ability to ruin a story and not tell it right is staggering. I want you to tell this whole story. I'm just going to sit here. I want you to work back from the reveal. You start at the reveal. Work back from it. Tell the story.
So
how would you tell this story?
Marcellus Wireless loses his soul in a gold case.
Wireless? You're honestly like my kids. You get so excited that you don't think through what's about to happen. But go ahead.
Silver
car.
Steve Martin wants a big silver
red.
Car.
What's a red car?
No, silver.
Was it?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
And Chevy Chase. I mean, they're imagining what they would do with all their money.
Yeah.
And they're in bed together, all three of them, just cuddled up, which is always funny. And Steve Martin's like, I want a big silver car. And I'd walk up to Henry Flugerman and I'd show him like, hey, I made it.
Yeah.
Chevy Chase is like, I'd move to New York, you know, get into the acting, get into the scene, drink some champagne. And then Martin Short, to kind of end the joke, is like, I'd start a hospital for kids with one arm.
Sure.
Yeah.
Close enough. Yeah. Now, I want to point something out. Do you notice how, in order to tell that story appropriately, you had to start with what Steve Martin wanted, and then what Chevy Chase wanted, and then what Martin Short wanted, instead of just screaming out... Instead of literally just screaming out, I want to help the children.
Yeah. So
I just want to make sure, because I think you going through it will help you understand that.
I'm a new wave cinema guy. Like the way Martin Scorsese films things, the way the brain reacts, you know, it's quick and you don't need much to it. If you're listening to a podcast about the Three Amigos, you're just waiting for the punchline.
Yeah. No, you're good. You're good. Yeah. It's great. I'm going to move on.
Yeah.
Steve Martin learned those rope tricks that he was doing in the movie when he worked for Disney.
Yeah, he was a teenager. He actually started working when he was 10 at Disney World.
Yeah, yeah.
He would hand out programs and stuff. Like, no one would...
Is there anybody like Steve Martin?
No. The documentary...
I haven't seen it yet. Have you watched it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's incredible. So the way he goes about joke telling, it's like he's dissecting the atom. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's something scientific. He studied psychology and sociology and philosophy in college. And he has these notebooks, these endless notebooks. Like, whenever he performed... He'd write down, like, kind of like methodically who laughed, who didn't, what's the social contract with the person. The only person I can compare him to, I've seen the documentary and I love him a lot, Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
These prolific, just kind of lonely geniuses who love nothing more than to get the science of what they're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, with him as comedy.
I can't think, it's incredible to me.
And it's wild. So he didn't become a dad till he was 67. And if you watch his movies, it's all about these lonely guys or people who are going to be dads or like, you know, he was America's dad.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, it's what he kind of like was yearning to be.
Yeah, yeah.
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 He's the best.
Projection. No, absolutely. So I mentioned this is Martin Short's first movie role.
That's insane.
What's your favorite Martin Short movie? That's a more unique question than Steve Martin.
So is it weird? I haven't seen the movie, but from everything Clifford. I've heard.
Max, I'm begging you. I'm begging you between now and Sunday. Yeah. Please watch L.A. Story and Clifford.
Okay.
Clifford. So there was this interview with Steve Martin and Martin Short. And it's actually really fascinating. So this movie comes out in 86. It didn't do poorly.
$40 million on $25 million.
But it wasn't like a blockbuster by any means. And Steve Martin, like this was one of the like projects that was like close to his heart.
Yeah.
And it, you know, he basically came up with the idea, wrote it.
Do you know how he came up with the idea?
That was in the documentary. It shows, right?
So
was it a restaurant they
There's a Mexican cafe in LA with this giant mural of like, you know, conquistadors and like people on horses and like Mexican bars. And he's like, that looks like fun.
Yeah.
And he just created a movie because
of
it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
He, it's interesting. So this movie comes out and 20 years later, they get like a phone call, like some magazine wants to do like a photo shoot to celebrate the 20 year or the 25 year anniversary of the Three Amigos. Steve Martin says, why?
Yeah.
Has no idea that like this has this rich cult following and that everybody loves this movie. And but has no clue.
That's wild.
So it wasn't until 20 years, 25 years later that they all kind of realized that this was like cemented in time as like one of the greatest comedies. I mean, it's like a top 100 Bravo comedy, I think. It's on the AFI list.
And it's one of the most recognizable costumes you'll see in movie
history.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Like, you just think of it, like you see it, you're like, I know exactly where that's from.
You know, 1A, 1B?
What?
1A is this and 1B are the two tuxedos from Dumb and Dumber.
Yes.
I would say those are the two most like
comedic.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah.
It's interesting because for as much as they didn't realize that this movie was what it was, it launched the career of Martin Short. So we skip that. You said Clifford. I would say also Interspace. I love him in Interspace.
It's weird. He doesn't have the great movie career that you would think. But Jimmy Glick is like one of the funniest things ever.
There's another movie that he was in with
Father of the Bride.
No, Murtaugh. Why can't I think of the actor's name?
Loaded Weapon?
No. Not Loaded Weapon.
Wait, Danny Glover?
Yeah, there's a movie Pure Luck.
Okay.
It's absurd.
Yeah.
So it's with Danny Glover and Max, I'm going to do my best. I haven't seen it forever. No, I totally know what this is about. I just saw it. Let me think. Let me stretch my brain before I screw this up. Pure Luck. Danny Glover, Martin Short. Danny Glover is like a private investigator.
Okay.
And this girl disappears. And the girl that disappears has the worst luck in the world, meaning she walks down the street and gets hit by a car.
Mr. Magoo.
She falls. Yes.
Yeah.
So the idea is to find someone whose luck is as bad as her to stumble into the same things that she did to find her.
Oh, that's
so funny. Like Danny Glover has to deal with like this horrific bad luck, Martin Short.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. The two of them have good chemistry together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you can. Put it on your list.
I mean, Martin Short now is performing with Steve Martin.
I know.
Have you seen the Murders in the Building?
No, with Selena Gomez, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I have not seen that yet.
Yeah, but they just look like they have fun together. They're best friends. And they met on this movie.
The first time that Martin Short went to Steve Martin's place, I'll probably somewhat butcher this quote, but it's absolutely hilarious to me. So Steve Martin invites Martin Short over to look at the script. He walks into the place and says, wow, you have quite a bit of money, which I've seen your work surprises me. So like and Steve Martin starts cracking up, and that was the genesis of their friendship. Yeah. Is just like ribbing, giving each other howl type stuff.
So by the way, Steve Martin is a weirdly avid art collector. I'm talking he has Picasso's, Edward Hopper's.
Oh wow!
So his art collection is worth over $100 million. So it's like when Martin Short walked in, he probably saw a Picasso.
Maybe.
Yeah.
He saw something.
Yeah.
Spielberg considered making this film in the early 80s with Steve Martin, Robin Williams, and Bill Murray.
That's amazing. I mean, I heard too, Dan Aykroyd and Jim Belushi were a 1980 idea.
Yep.
Can Spielberg do a good comedy? 1941 is like the one bomb, right? And that's
which I liked.
Okay, I need to watch it still.
It's good.
Yeah.
I liked it.
I mean, he has good comedic stuff in other movies, but like,
yeah,
predominantly comedy.
I don't think Spielberg doesn't do anything poorly. It's just not his strong suit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Spielberg horror film. That's what I like.
Yeah. I mean, Jaws.
Well, Poltergeist. Yeah.
Yeah. Minority Report.
Yeah.
It's kind of sci-fi horror.
It is this, yeah.
Yeah.
So we mentioned Belushi, Dan Aykroyd, Rick Moranis. And it's interesting because they were all kind of working on projects with each other throughout that period of time. They're all buddies. Anyways, yeah, yeah.
I mean, do you know how Martin Short got the part?
I don't.
So, oh, this is crazy. Yeah. So, originally, Ned Niederlander was, they offered the role to John Candy.
Yeah, yeah.
And John Candy couldn't ride a horse, and he said, I can't do this part, but I think Martin Short's perfect for it.
So, do you know what's fascinating about that story?
What?
That's exactly how Rick Moranis got the role in Ghostbusters.
I can't ride a horse?
No, they want, it's good. They wanted John Candy
yeah.
to be Lewis.
Yeah.
And he's like, he went over his ideas of what he thought it should be, and they disagreed. And he goes, I got a guy who's perfect for you. And he basically got Rick Moranis the role in Ghostbusters.
Why haven't they done a John Candy documentary?
I mean, Ryan Reynolds is working on one right now.
Okay. Who plays him?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Because you realize they're doing a Chris Farley
one, and they've got the guy from Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
He's in more stuff than that, but yeah. I always know him from Cobra Kai.
I'm a little worried about the Chris Farley one because
hard to be him.
Well, no. John Candy, you seem like a sweet person, and yeah, like his yeah. stories are caring and inspirational. Yeah. Farley's a darker road, and it's like when you die at an early age and it's a darker road, I don't know if it's a fun movie to watch.
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe it's not meant to be a fun movie to watch. Most documentaries about people's lives are not meant to be fun.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
I can't think of one that actually
that's Dewey ever Cox, been fun. Ride Hard.
I don't know that that's a documentary about anyone, Max, but thank you. While editing The Three Amigos, John Landis was on trial for that infamous death,
helicopter murder.
That's what fractured his relationship with Eddie Murphy, right?
Yeah, because he didn't stand for him.
So this is kind of interesting. So apparently he, during editing, was involved so heavily with that trial that the studio went behind his back and they started editing and tweaking the movie because he just wasn't there to do it. There's a whole scene that had Sam Kennison in it.
Yeah, as a bandit.
Yeah.
And they
cut the whole thing, which sucks because it would have been hilarious.
And Fran Drescher had a role.
Fran Drescher, yeah.
In the beginning.
She did too.
Yeah. So I bet this movie was a little bit more PG-13 or R because that's kind of Landis's bread and butter is a little bit more raunchy.
Yeah.
And
there's not a single raunchy thing in this
it's
movie.
It's a PG movie.
Is it almost a G movie except they shoot guns? What is in this movie that would take it from PG to G?
Chevy Chase has this one weird line when they're kissing. Well, he's talking about kissing, and he's like...
On the veranda?
And he goes, on the lips. Oh, yeah,
that
right.
Oh, that wouldn't...
Yeah.
That wouldn't get you there.
Okay.
I forget never to ask you this kind of stuff. You have no concept of what's appropriate or inappropriate.
By the way, when...
X-rated.
When Steve Martin gets shot, they just gloss over, like, he's fine later, right? They don't go
it's
back
flesh
to
wound.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of obvious. It was just nicked him on the...
Yeah, but you got shot. I don't know.
He's fine. People get shot all the time. Happens
tis but a flesh wound.
All the time.
You ever been shot?
Can I ask you a question? a serious question.
Yeah.
Do you think I've been shot?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just so we're clear, that was one of those things that you just asked me that you knew the answer to already.
Yeah.
Good. Good, good, good.
You're very annoyed today.
No, just you bring out the worst of me. Yeah.
This is a great movie for you.
I love this movie. I was in a great mood until you showed up.
Who's your favorite part of it?
God, I don't even, that's a great question.
It's the Steve Martin for me that like brings it together. He's like the dad of the family.
I think my favorite part of the movie is when, so again, going back to the comedic aspects of this movie, you have these two guys that go into that bar, which was, what is the name of the bar?
It's like the Bar of the Drunks.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Spanish.
And they go to the bar and...
Cantina El Borracho.
The German goes into the bar, and he's dressed a little fancy, and they give him a hard time, and he just murders a bunch of people. And he's like, I have some friends coming in. Make sure you treat them well.
You'll know
them. The Three Amigos show up, and everyone's terrified because they assume that they're this like murderous friends of the German. And the entire, from start to finish, the entire scene,
sweetest smile.
My little buttercup. Has the sweet a smile like when, and then when they're like going to the audience participation, like, please, little buttercup, won't you stay a while? and the whole back and forth with all of them is incredible. I'll have a beer. We don't have no beer.
We have tequila.
We have tequila. Like,
is that like beer?
As long as it's non-fattening. And they just drink the tequila.
Yeah.
Oh man, I love like the just like outrageous. Stereotypes, right? Like all the Mexicans in this movie are either like villagers or bandits, but they're walking around with fists of tequila.
You know what the best part of this movie to me is? It's the Curb Your Enthusiasm, weirdly, the bad guys like El Guapo and El Jefe.
They're really good with each other.
They're just kind of having everyday conversations with each other. It's like, are you maybe upset because it's your 40th birthday? Or like, remember, it's a sweater.
I feel like the way that you and I interact with each other is very El Guapo and Jefe.
Yeah.
I'm like, Max, would you say that we have a plethora of followers on TikTok?
Yes.
Yeah, a plethora. Yeah. Really? Tell me, what is a plethora?
Whatever you think it is. Yeah.
Could it be, Mo?
You just have so much more of a vocabulary than I do.
Someone as smart as you. Yeah. You may be taking this out on me for something else you are mad about.
Will she open her flower to you? She will, or I'll kill her.
God. You know, additionally, I think one of my favorite parts of the movie is when Chevy Chase is intermingling with the bandits. And El
Guapo. Prune the Hedges.
See, again, it's like. It's,
oh, sorry.
It's
your... Sorry. That was bad.
It's okay. It's not like we just had this conversation about like that's all right. I want to keep all this. I want people to see the slow and steady emotional breakdown of me dealing on the podcast. So when he's walking around and El Guapo is like, and I would remember you, and I remember you, and it gets. And you could just see Chevy Chase. I think I mentioned this. We were talking about the National Lampoon movies. Some of Chevy Chase's greatest work is when he's not even the primary focus on the camera. Like he never stops acting. And he's kind of just like background trying to get away from him. And he gets over and he doesn't know his name. He's like, Jose. Yeah. And they're like, Jose. He's like, we raped the horses and we rode off on the women. And we prune the hedges of many small villages.
Who the hell are you?
Who the hell are you? Kringle's falling from the sky.
And then Martin Short
just falls from the sky. It's just nonstop hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious to me. What else? What other facts do you have on the movie?
Well, first of all, we should talk about the scene that makes the movie kind of like wholesome. Their singing scene in the desert where the animals are singing with them.
Yeah.
That's just you normally
caught me off guard. A little weird.
I like it, though. Like, you normally don't see that in a comedy. You know, it was like kind of just like, you could tell that was probably Steve Martin's head.
Good night, Ned.
Yeah.
Good night.
Let's see. Landis came up with the singing turtle, so I thought that was fun.
There you go.
Yeah. Let's see. Steve Martin's favorite joke was, it's a sweater, the El Guapo thing. I love that stuff.
That is funny.
Yeah.
And then he immediately has it on, like, tied in front of his shirt.
See, like, they were, like, real people, even though they were you know, 1920s bandits.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, this was great. The woman who kisses Ned at the end.
Yeah.
Do you know who that is?
No.
So she's Rebecca Ferrardi, and she's the grateful Shih Tzu owner in Ace Ventura.
Shut up.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That's amazing.
Yeah. I thought that was really fun.
What else, Max? Any other facts you have?
Well, I thought it was really cool, actually. They'd thought about this. The gunslinging and horse riding stuff, like, it seems weird that the Three Amigos are good at this stuff.
Yeah.
But actually, back in the 1920s, actors would have to learn these things because they didn't really have stunt doubles.
Right.
So for the most part, these actors actually would have these skills.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I thought that was neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll jump into one thing that I think is incredible. I'm blown away by this because of all the cameos that I've ever seen in a movie, this is just, I think, a delicious one.
Okay.
Randy Newman. So everyone in the world who watches film knows who Randy Newman is. Cleveland City of Angels, Major League, You Got a Friend.
That's the one.
Toy Story, Bugs Life, Monsters, Inc., Parenthood, Three Amigos.
Yeah.
So the Three Amigos, he not only did all the songs like, you know, We Are the Three Amigos, he also helped write the script. So this is his only writing credit.
Mm.
But most important, do you know what Randy Newman's cameo in this movie is? Because it's incredible.
No.
He is the voice of the singing bush.
Shut up.
He is the, she'll be coming around the mountain.
She'll be coming.
That's Randy Newman, my friend. Can you believe that?
That's incredible.
I think that's wild. And in addition to that, you have this production team, right? You've got Steve Martin, Lorne Michaels.
Lorne Michaels is crazy.
Right. And then Randy Newman, which is interesting. He's somewhat early. I mean, he's already established himself. He's done quite a bit of music, but.
As a writer.
Yeah, weird that he was a writer in this, right?
Yeah.
And never did any other, again, not that he was credited for, never did any other writing credits.
So maybe he wrote the songs. Do you know there's like three or four songs in this
That
movie.
Wouldn't give you a writing credit.
Really?
He did write the songs, but he has an actual.
That's composer stuff. Yeah,
he actually has like a writing credit for the script.
Maybe that's the only way they get him on. Yeah.
I don't know. It's wild to me.
What does he look like? I feel like he looks like Richard Simmons.
No.
What does he look like?
You have a computer? Yeah. Look it up. Jeez.
Oh, he kind of looks like what I thought I would.
Yeah. All right, let's go into the actors and actresses and then talk about some quotes because this is a highly quotable movie that I've spent most of my child and young adulthood quoting. So
look up here.
You too. actors and actresses, go.
I mean, John Landis directed.
Yep.
And
God, comedic just rock star. Give the list, Max. It's always exciting.
I think we've only done two or three directors as like an homage kind of thing, and his was one. His was our first one.
Give me the list.
Yeah. So first of all, he's a high school dropout.
Hey, Max, give me the list.
Okay.
Give Daddy the list.
Thriller, the Thriller video, yeah. Which is super important.
Yeah, yeah.
Kentucky Fried Movie.
Yeah. Which, have you seen that yet?
No.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's weird, but it's good.
Animal House.
Animal House.
Blues Brothers.
Blues Brothers.
His Pierre de Resistance. Trading Places. Into the Night, underrated Jeff Goldblum, Michelle Pfeiffer. Spies Like Us, incredible. Coming to America. And then it falls off. Beverly Hills Cop 3 and the Stupids. I know.
Can we just sit and marinate in that little sweet spot? Like, he's responsible for easily 5 or 6 of the best comedies I've ever seen in my life.
He's probably the most quoted director of comedies ever, right?
Gosh.
I mean, maybe Judd Apatow stuff?
Yeah.
That's about it.
Wow. So there's a good one. Is Judd Apatow the new Landis?
Oh, man. It's such a different kind of comedy.
It is a different kind of comedy. You're right. Yeah. Okay. Moving on. Who else?
Writers were Newman, Lorne Michaels, and Steve Martin.
Yeah.
Lucky Day was played by Steve Martin, who we've just established as a god, basically.
Yeah.
Like, there's no one who doesn't like Steve Martin.
I don't remember if it was on last week's episode or if I discussed it with someone else, but did we talk about going to see Steve Martin and... Okay, so it wasn't with you.
He's playing in Royal Oak, right?
Yeah, I really would like to go see it, although I suspect there may be a degree of disappointment because it's like...
They're older?
Yeah, not because they're older, just because like the venue in which we'd be watching them is not what I would view as like classic Steve Martin. Mm. But at the end of the day, like, I would just love to see him and Martin Short
together. It is pretty crazy. So he was the biggest comedian in the world till 1980.
Right.
And he never did comedy again on stage until this last year or two when him and Martin Short started getting this bit together. So it's like to see someone who was the pinnacle of a field and that expert in it go back to it and dust it off. Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
It's wild to see someone be as successful as him and so clean, like squeaky clean as him as well.
Yeah.
It's just very, very rare.
He's a very strange, lonely guy. Yeah. Like, he doesn't do much outside. Like, didn't seem like he ever had a problem with drugs or alcohol or anything like that, or women. Like, he was kind of just shy.
Yeah.
Like, the way he met his wife was a fact checker for The New Yorker, and she was fact checking his story, and he kept calling, and they kept liking each other, and they ended up...
Precious.
They ended up going on like a group date together.
Precious.
And they both came early and were doing the New Yorker crossword puzzle. I thought that was pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, so what's your favorite Steve Martin? Oh, we've already been over that. Yeah, sorry. Mine's Sergeant Bilko.
Can you move on, please?
I love Sergeant.
I can't deal with you.
Or Bowfinger.
There you go. Bowfinger's incredible.
No, awesome.
God, Bowfinger's
really... Planes, Trains. How's that not your favorite? That's his favorite.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably up there.
Yeah, you didn't even say that even.
I forgot.
Yeah.
Because I'm on the...
Or what about the Muppet movie where he's the drunk he's waiter? Really,
he's not drunk.
Well, he's like, one for me, doesn't he?
Yeah. He's not drunk.
No, but to do that would be alcoholics.
Would it, Max? Would it now? You don't say.
All right. Chevy Chase, who played Dusty Bottoms. Do you know his name? I mean, he wasn't born Chevy Chase. It's Cornelius Crane Chase.
Sure.
I wonder where he got Chevy from.
A lot of actors do that, just something that's catchy and marketable. Cornelius is.
Yeah, but he picked a car.
Well, Chevy.
Yeah. It's pronounced the same way.
Yeah. Chevy.
Yeah.
Chevy.
But it is the same spelling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Is that the first time you realized that?
Yeah.
Wow.
I never really thought about it before, but yeah.
The coolest part of his entire career, he's the first person ever to say live from New York at Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
That's insane.
He just had some really nasty quotes about community.
Yeah. He's a mean, difficult guy, unfortunately.
But 80s Chevy.
There's no one like him.
Yeah.
And you know, he's got a perfect pitch.
No.
So he can like pick up any song anywhere and just kind of do it.
I mean, dude, I'm
he's
telling
funny,
you.
He's funny.
For
handsome.
Me, it's got to be Caddyshack.
Yeah.
It's got to be
Ty
Caddyshack.
Webb's the coolest.
Ty Webb's the coolest.
Yeah. I mean, the vacation movies, though, like Christmas Vacation.
God, that's really...
That's his best actual acting.
Clark W. Griswold.
We actually brought this up. He never really performed a serious role. Christmas Vacation, there are parts where he's kind of serious. Just a little bit.
I don't know, Max.
Wanting the love from the dad.
I don't know, Max.
Him and his kids. Him being nice.
I don't think it, no.
Him being nice to
Eddie.
Randy Quaid's, Eddie's daughter. Remember when she's downstairs?
Okay, like,
I'm saying for like, you can see like a little sunlight of where he could have actually been a serious actor.
I don't know. I think it's a stretch, but yeah.
Yeah. And Martin Short, we already went over his whole career, basically. Yeah. But
I'm surprised you didn't immediately bring this up.
What?
It's probably the single most important fact about any actor or actress in this movie.
What?
One of the two Germans is the pig.
I was waiting for you
to
say
Night Slasher. Yeah,
it's Brian Thompson.
Yeah. From Cobra.
Yeah.
What else was he in?
Terminator.
Terminator, yeah. So that's the best. Just cropped up in the Three Amigos is the other German. I'm like, oh, it's the Night Slasher.
So it's so great. The Night Slasher is based on a real murderer in L.A. in the 80s.
Yeah.
And there's a new movie coming out, Maxine. It's the third installment of the Pearl series.
Okay.
And it's the Night Slasher is killing in the 80s during this time period. So it's like, it just, he's always there.
Do they have the cure?
For the disease. El Guapo is played by Alfonso Arau. So it's weird. It's like, he's so prolific in this movie, you feel like you've seen him all the time.
Yeah.
He's not in much. No. He did Used Cars, and he was a voice in Coco, but he directed like Water for Chocolate and A Walk in the Clouds. So
I don't know what either of those two movies are.
Walk in the Clouds is a bad Keanu Reeves romantic comedy.
Interesting. Or, I wouldn't know a Keanu movie.
Yeah. And Water for Chocolate was an international movie that was like really well liked.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Carmen was played by Patrice Martinez, and she's in one other role that's awesome. She's the receptionist in Beetlejuice.
Oh my God, you're right.
Yeah. Isn't that cool? Yes. I mean, she's like green.
Oh my gosh. No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, she's great in that.
That's
just
so funny.
And also, she's the girl on the train in Dirty New Rotten Scoundrels. Remember when Steve Martin gets distracted and wants to like leave? Like,
Okay. I like her.
Yeah. And John Lovitz is in this movie.
Well, so
I'll take it.
More than John Lovitz.
That's the ticket.
John Lovitz and Phil Hartman. And
oh, yeah, Phil Hartman.
Yeah, how could you ignore that? If you think about it, it's funny, right? So you have, oh Jesus, who's the other guy who plays?
Joe Mantegna.
Yeah, so you got Joe Mantegna, Phil Hartman, John Lovitz, all in the same scene with each other. Is that like the most like, is that like having the dream team, but only playing in an exhibition game? Like the three of them were just in there for like a minute of this movie.
Yeah. Joe Mantegna needs to be replaced by like a comedic god for it to be like shocking. Cause he's a good, not great actor.
Yeah.
Well, not, that's mean, but I mean, he's done
some good stuff.
No, he had a good, not great career. Godfather 3.
Take him out of it.
Yeah.
For a second,
Hartman and Lovitz. Yeah.
Take Lovitz out of it. How about just Phil Hartman?
I love Lovitz.
Cancel. What are the three things that he was told to do? Like, oh, you like those clothes?
Yeah.
Like, get rid of the clothes. And he's like, wardrobe, get down here. Take the clothes from the Migos.
Good one. Good storytelling, Max.
Oh, I just maxed that story so good. Here I am on this episode.
Yeah, Harry Flugelman did.
Well, he then jumped to the end. He took their clothes away.
What's your favorite quote?
Oh, Jesus,
you
Max.
Motherless goat.
Oh, you son of a motherless goat.
Is it the plethora? It's got to be probably the plethora.
I think that my...
all of us have an El Guapo
to face. That's my favorite quote. My favorite, like, at my funeral, because I will for sure die before you, I want you to get up there and I want you to say...
For some, shyness might be
I want you to say, Mo did a really good job overcoming obstacles in his life. In a way, all of us has an El Guapo to face. For some, shyness might be their El Guapo. For others, a lack of education might be their El Guapo. For us, El Guapo is a big, dangerous man who wants to kill us. But as sure as my name is Lucky Day, the people of Santa Poco can conquer their personal El Guapo, who also happens to be the actual El Guapo. That is the funniest line of anything ever. I just every time I hear it, I absolutely die laughing. It's so funny.
It is really good. So, I mean, actually, the one thing that makes this movie PG is one of my favorite lines. Like, I'll fill you so full of lead, you're going to use your blank as a pencil.
What's a blank?
I don't want to bleep it out.
Why? You can blink it out. Yeah, that. Let's bleep it out. Go get that.
You like the erection selection at the mart? It's a terrible movie.
Yeah, it's good. Just calm down.
You see Conan O'Brien's hot wings?
Yes.
It's
incredible.
Ah!
Fine. He just starts rubbing the hot sauce into his nipples and his face.
Never felt so alive.
Oh, man. Is this supposed to even hurt? I don't even feel this. He's so funny.
Why can't I feel? He's the it's totally him.
Yeah.
Too. It's just like,
I watched an interview with him after, and he was saying how he just like, he gets in this place where he doubles down.
Yeah.
And his mind goes blank. And I'm like, yeah, that's
he
great.
He burned his hand. It went through his wedding ring.
God, I'm trying to think the entire scene. I know we've been like loosely imitating it. So calm down. Cause I'm setting up a story to do the imitation. So don't just start shouting out the imitation. So you got it?
Yep.
You sure?
Yep.
Take a deep breath. Let me see it. You're not breathing. when they break into the studio and he's like, hold your lips, hold them tight. And he's like, he's walking up there and he's like, woohoo, woohoo, hey, you two, you two, look up here, look up here, look up here. Hey, guys. That whole thing is great too.
It is wonderful.
God, what else? There's other great quotable stuff.
And we did the Burn the Village
stuff.
So
like the wind, old lady or old woman.
Oh yeah, that is really funny.
So like the wind,
old
woman.
Very old woman.
Yeah. So like the wind.
Or like, what is plan B? It's like, well, we got in here. Now we don't have a plan. Sometimes you can overplan things.
Oh, that's good.
Do you know what nada means? Yeah, it's a light chicken gravy. Oh, also, I mean, the invisible swordsman.
Oh, my God.
Like, I did not see that coming.
No,
that he just
that's
shoots
really
him.
Funny, yeah. Too. Yeah.
Like, that's almost Monty Python kind of level.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Well, the whole singing bush is like.
That's true. You're just like, what is going on?
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. You know, Max, I don't have a whole lot else on this movie other than I love it.
It's a great comedy.
I'm trying to think of, we talked about recasting it. What do you put this up against? Like, for, I know that I listed the other two movies, Tropic Thunder and Galaxy Quest, but just as far as kind of your, you know, internal ranking, like what's a movie that you think is a little bit funnier and what do you think is a movie that's a little bit less funny?
So I think it's in the same stratosphere as The Princess Bride, where it's like this fantasy camp kind of thing where it's a little bit winking towards the audience.
I struggle. No,
that's better.
Yeah.
And it's more of a complete story.
I struggle with that example only because The Princess Bride, I would never think of as a comedy.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I say fantasy comedy.
Fantasy adventure.
Okay. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Your Highness, which is not a great movie. Yeah. But have you seen that one?
I have.
Yeah.
I would not. I immediately regret asking you this question.
I'm not good on the fly.
Nope.
Heat. The parallels
are huge.
Robert De Niro is Steve Martin.
So I love this movie. So I put it in the stratosphere of... I put it in the Caddyshack conversation. Yeah. It's not Caddyshack. Caddyshack to me is one of the most perfect comedies ever made.
It's in the Landosphere.
Yeah.
It's what it is.
It's there. I mean, so like.
Little Shop of Horrors.
I like Little Shop of Horrors, but I don't like I don't pray at that altar.
A little darker, a little bit more.
Feed Miss Simo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I guess I don't have an answer to my own question. I just pulled the Max Sanders. Max, with that being said, it looks like we have completed talking about one of my favorite movies, The Three Amigos, whatever you want to call it. And it is time for us to take a swing on over to the Buzz in the Tower.
Nice save.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's time to go to the Buzz in the Tower fan spotlight. Max, today's Buzz in the Tower fan spotlight is Vandor Hill.
What a cool name.
Cool dude that we talked to.
Yeah. His middle name online is Wacko, but I don't think his parents named
it. It's not Yakko or Dot.
I love Animaniacs.
Thank you. I was hoping you'd know what that was.
We are Animaniacs. I don't know where I remember the rest.
Come join the Warner Brothers and the Warner Sister Dot. Yeah. Just for fun, they run around the Warner movie lot. They locked us in the tower whenever we get caught.
Yeah.
But we break loose in them bamboos, and now you know the plot. We're Animaniacs.
Dot is cute and Yakko yaks. Yeah. That's all I know. The pinky and the brain.
Wacko packs the way the smacks while Bill Clinton plays the sax.
Yeah.
We're Animaniacs.
That's a Spielberg one. Didn't he do that?
Yeah.
That's wild.
Can we give a little appreciation
that's
for
really
my
good.
Immediate
yeah.
recall on that?
Yeah.
Which I don't even know all of it, but
well,
I know most of
you've
it.
You've already established on the show that you have like the singing, you pick up everything singing wise.
Yeah. Where were we the other day? I was showing some old cartoons to Aaron and I showed him
Voltron.
Tasmania.
Ooh. Wait, Tasmanian Devil? Or?
No, the show, whatever it was, the newer version of like the Tasmanian Devil show.
Yeah,
but do you remember the theme song came on or the intro came on, and I started singing and he just looked at me like I was insane. Do you remember it at all?
No.
Oh wow, I just did it. Like, welcome to a land that's way under, down under. The sky's always yellow and the rain or shine. Come to Tasmania. Well, Topsy meets Turvy and it starts to spin like a Tasmanian devil in his closest kin. Come to Tasmania. Down to Didgeridingo and Wendell T. Wolf. Francis's bush letters never. I'm trailing now.
It's good enough.
I think it's good enough.
Yeah. Back to Vandor.
He put the Taz in Tasmania.
Let's hear what Vandor has to say.
Let's see what he had to say. I'm interested. I'm sure it's not about the Tasmanian Devil cartoon, but we'll hear what he had to say about this incredible movie, The Three Amigos.
Peace, y'all. Today I'm talking about The Three Amigos.
Nice.
Probably one of my favorite top 10 80s joints growing up. Had that rented from the VHS store. Yes, kind of dating myself. Some standouts for me in the film, obviously, was that Three Amigo. That's how me and my friend used to always like say what's up to each other on the playground. To drove our parents crazy. Huge fan of Martin Short. You know, Steve Martin. And, of course, the man himself, Chevy Chase. My personal favorite character was El Guapo. Just for the fact that I'm the same way. When I get a birthday present, I don't really like, but I have to act like I like it. And that's why he was like, it's a sweater. Probably my favorite part that I laughed at. So this is Vander Hill. Shout out to Buzz the Tower. Peace.
I think his shirt says tenderloin on it, which yeah. is awesome. It's very distracting. I'm quite hungry. And I was like, sweet.
It's 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah, whatever.
It's never too early for a tenderloin.
It's noon somewhere. Do we know that? I never got the impression that he didn't like the sweater. I thought it was like genuine. He liked the sweater.
I don't know, but like that is true when you get something you don't
totally,
like.
Totally, yeah. totally. Yeah,
it
yeah.
sucks. Yeah. Thanks, Mom. Thanks,
great. Yeah. Like yeah. that shirt.
I love this shirt. I wore it in Vegas. I got lots of compliments.
That actually, it feels like a Vegas shirt.
Yeah, it was.
All right, good. Maybe you should have left it there. Max, shout out.
Vander Hill.
Vander, awesome job, man. What a weird episode this was. You know, you brought this up during our commercial break, which wasn't really a commercial break. We just weren't recording. Comedies are hard to do on this show. I feel like we
you need more serious, like you need the like important scenes.
Heart. Miles yeah. and miles, Max. Yeah. Miles and miles. Plus you doing everything in your power to ruin my rhythm as usual. I can't
Timing.
Carry this show. Go. YouTube. Check out the YouTube channel. What's our next episode gonna be?
Could be 7.
God, that's dark.
So?
We're recording on Sunday. Yeah, let's do 7.
Cool.
Let's get weird.
Yeah. This is too like light. We need to get like meaty and weird.
All right, next episode.
What's
7.
In the box? Oh God.
Oh God.
Oh God.
Jeez.
Ah. The world is a wonderful place, and we're saving. I believe
the world
blood.
Is a vampire. All right. Don't forget to subscribe. Leave 5 stars. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Check us out on our website, buzzinthetower.com. Don't forget our sponsor, 80stees.com. Don't forget all social media platforms. Check us out, especially TikTok at buzzinthetower. And, of course, patreon.com/buzzinthetower. Max, the Three Amigos, one for each other and all for one, something or other. Good job today. Sorry, I was a little hard on you. I don't know why. Sometimes I see your face. And I just want to punch you in the face.
It's like, fair.
Yeah,
I mean, you and my wife.
My wife.
Anyone who spends a lot of time with me, it's a lot.
It is.
That's why I spend most of my time alone.
Sad, but true.
Yeah.
Except I know a few people that disagree with that.
I'm good in small doses.
Your dad doesn't agree with that.
No, he does.
He thinks you're wonderful.
I get inquisitive.
I can't wait for your wedding to see your family. I haven't seen Jesus, I don't even remember. I think I've only seen your parents one time.
Have you met my mom or no?
On FaceTime. I think we FaceTime once. And your dad
you and my person. Sister will just talk for 4 hours, just bad-mouthing me.
No, not on your wedding. We'll wait till after.
Well, yeah. That's when the drinking starts.
That's great.
We're going to Skeeps afterwards.
Why don't we wrap with We Are the Three
So long.
Amigos and amigos forever will be.